number of people here. Thank you for coming and your interest in the farm. I'm Patrick Lee. I work with the Parks and Lands Division of the county. We also have Lena Burley, our new Parks and Lands Division Manager, Kevin, Chris, who is taping all of you, so behave. Laura and Joe, who was kind of the Farm Operations Manager. We have, from the Friends of the Farm Foundation, we have Blair, we have Kirk, we have Sandy, and Food Bank, Emily, and Farm Advisory Committee, Friends of the Farm Foundation. Doug, are you on that?
No.
Okay. Sorry, you're on enough committees as it is. And members of the Farm Advisory Committee include Rob Freed, Gary Garth, Sandy Brown, and Kirk Grisham. So that's who we are. Oh, Megan Reed's our public information officer. So again, thank you for coming. Number of people have signed up in the sign-up sheet. I'm not sure if you have public comments that you want to talk about, so I'll ask you when we get to that item on the agenda. I did move things around a little bit because we weren't sure that Galena and Kevin were going to be here until later in the meeting, so we'll talk about the master plan later on in the meeting as opposed to up front, because I think the rest of the agenda will probably go fairly quickly. Ann Foster, you've signed up as Heritage Farm comment.
Yes.
Oh. Here's your opportunity.
Yes. And so I'm going to share this with Heather Fishbein right here. So she's also on the list, so you can put us together.
I'm kind of in the bottom half.
Okay.
Would you like us just to stay where we are?
You can stay where you are. You can come up wherever you're comfortable speaking.
Okay, we'll
just
stay. Okay.
So Ann and I are here and we're representing. Wait a minute. So we're here representing.
I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Kind of an ad hoc group of people who've come together and we've called ourselves the Heritage Farm Stakeholder Group. And so Ann and I are here today. We have a couple clarifying questions that have to do with page 11 of the PowerPoint presentation from the work session on January 8th. And we're just trying to get clear on exactly what portion of this total budget is funded from the general fund. So the way we've looked at this, the way we've tried to understand it ourselves, is that the total of $564,575 is the total, but $346,667 of that is the WSU Extension funding and IT support, which is our understanding the county would have to pay regardless of where Extension was housed. But that expense doesn't, so in my thinking, we would subtract that amount out and look at the remaining $217,272. Is that the amount of money that the county council is seeking to kind of recoup through some kind of sustainable enterprise on the farm?
I think they are seeking to recoup and reduce general fund expenditures across all programs, really. So it could impact WSU. I mean, your analysis is correct. WSU, sort of our agreement with WSU, allows us to have an extension program in the county.
Right.
So it's not specifically tied to the farm operation. The balance is tied to kind of the farm operation that we currently conduct.
Is trying to brainstorm what some of these enterprise options might look like on the farm. We're just trying to get a dollar figure target. Like, okay, if we're thinking of options for this, that, or the other, are we trying to generate $212,000 or $500,000. So just some clarity around that, just for starters. Now, this is not like if you say it in this room, you're stuck with it. We're just trying to get a target figure in mind as we meet and try to, you know, figure out what might be possibilities that we could suggest. Did I get that right?
You mind if I do?
Please do.
Well, that's part one of our presentation here. Go ahead.
No. Okay. I'm so glad you had offered help. I'll respond with what Pat said. I think council is looking at the totality of general fund investment in the farm, regardless of what it supports. We use some funding to pay for Joe, for example. A little bit of money goes to pay for Pat.
Right.
A little bit goes to pay for the building. So they're looking at the totality, the 500,000 plus. I think that slide, if I remember it correctly, summarizes the entire investment. But we have an idea, if I may, because it's perfect for this point. We have some comment cards. As you sit today or over the next few weeks and think about ideas for financial stability, we have some short-term ideas and some long-term ideas that we're looking for and just collecting everything. If you want to write them up and give them to us, write your name, you could do that. You could also contact us later. We would love to hear from you. So I'm just going to pass this around. Some of the cards say short-term financial ideas. Others say long-term. We're looking at everything.
Okay. So I have a part two question here. We're also trying to figure out and have asked a couple of times and perhaps just not enable the right answer. But we would like to know about how much, again, estimates, how much revenue currently comes in from existing funding sources such as lease agreements or the Master Gardener program or the Mums plant sale. And does that money get targeted to Heritage Farm, or does it just go into the general fund for general operating expenses?
The money, well there's several streams. The lease fees and things go into the general fund, partially offset expenses, largely for facilities maintenance.
Okay.
So that goes through our internal services facilities department, and that's where the money goes. I don't know the specific, I'd have to go check again, but I think it's like $3,000 to $5,000 a year.
And there is a slide, I believe it's right after slide 11. I'm so sorry I didn't get a...
It's the graph. Yeah.
So it has a little bit of information.
It's not confusing. Yeah. It doesn't answer any questions. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Pat was correct about the amount of revenue. It's a very small amount that comes in to the county from leases and from the Master Gardener plant sale. And then it just goes into the general fund. We use revenue coding to show that it came from something related to the farm, but there's no separate fund just for the farm.
Okay.
So it does go into the general fund.
And that's good. That's a good answer. And it also helps to know that at least there's some tagging or flagging of those expenses as they come in to know that there is at least something
yes.
that is offsetting those expenses. What we sort of were fearful of is coming up with ideas that might produce enough revenue, but they sort of disappear into the deep tunnel of the general fund, and then the counselors still come back and say, not enough.
Right.
You know, so that's essentially, it's sort of like if you're a parent and you have a 13-year-old that wants an increase in his allowance. You want to know where the existing allowance is going before
right.
you grant more. So it's that same thought.
And I guess, you know, trying to speak for this ad hoc group of people, we're just trying to get clear around, let's just say for the first 3 years if we're in a transition zone. If there were farm-related enterprises to offset the expense that we understand is separate from extension, it just helps us think better about, well, what would we be talking about? Would it be like an incubator for value-added enterprises, or a seed bank where they were selling seeds or something? Are we trying to offset for now around $200,000 in the beginning? I get it that the county would love the farm to generate income to, you know, as much as possible. But if the messaging at this point, as we understand it, is they want the farm to be financially self-sustained, then we're just trying to really understand what that bottom line is as best you understand it now. So we know how to think clearly and effectively about this.
So if I may, again, going to slide 11, when it comes to the management of the farm itself, equipment needed and running of the building, you're looking at the expenditures for facilities, for parks and lands,
right,
and mm-hmm. for IT infrastructure.
Right.
Washington State University is a separate agreement.
Right.
And you know, I don't want to speak on your behalf. We haven't even met yet, really. I don't know if you want to add a little bit about your budget and how that works, but that's my understanding is it's a separate agreement.
Basically, it's historically and currently we have interagency agreement, and under that the county allocates a certain amount of money. Currently it's $310,272. However, they do in-kind, which is also part of the agreement that most extension, all extension offices have around the state, is that the local county government provides, you know, IT, housing, offices, that all the utility type stuff. So that is an in-kind that bumps that cost up, because that all comes out, as I understand it, most of that comes out of the general fund. Mm-hmm.
That is correct.
So that's another couple $100,000, I think, or 150 or something like that.
Does that help?
Well, not exactly. I haven't heard a yes or no. I still don't know if we should just keep $200,000 in mind as a ballpark.
So I don't think we have a specific dollar amount. If that's to answer your question, I don't think we have a specific dollar amount that we've been asked to target. Just that we've been asked to target ways of making the farm more sustainable financially.
And knowing that there's a way to track that revenue is also
yeah.
helpful.
Yeah.
So, good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you.
Any way you can send out a Survey Monkey?
We could, yeah.
Yeah.
Do we have a list everybody signed in as they came in? With emails? Oh.
We have a sign-up sheet. Not everybody identifies an email, however. Okay. Is it Cammy Ferguson, Team 99? I may have misread the name, but yes. You have a public comment?
I do not. I just signed into the sign-in sheet.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
I'm with the food bank. I'm the AmeriCorps farmer.
All right.
Isla Stanek.
Yo.
Yes.
Yo. I will send in my comments. Just from an accounting standpoint, I find it difficult to actually believe that you can assess all the costs in running the farm really nicely, but you don't have that same sort of offsetting for the income for anybody to move forward with making the farm more profitable. That actually has to happen. Real dollars and cents, you know, like the last 5 years. We had those numbers. We could move forward a lot more efficiently.
You're working on that.
We are, yeah. I appreciate that comment. So, full disclosure, I broke my leg. So I've been a little missing in action. But I also just started with the county 3 months ago. So we are looking at financials, expenses, how things are tracked. We're doing a deep dive into all of our parks portfolio, at least in terms of our operational needs and wants and all of our expenses. So there's a much larger effort that's going on in parks right now. And I appreciate that we are looking at past history, expenses. It has changed a little bit year to year for the farm from what I've seen in a couple of years, but there appears to be pretty steady and very similar allocation year to year.
Okay, that's all I had that's signed up as comments. Any other public comments? Yes, Sharon.
would like to comment after I hear with the Heritage Farm the current status is at the end of the meeting. But I still believe we a lot of time was spent 7 months, and the master plan from 2019 was actually accepted by the Planning Commission, and I believe the master plan update from 2019 does support sustainability and increasing income, and I see no reason from a community standpoint we cannot have that accepted and then work instead of wasting our time. This is good brainstorming, but we're also wasting our time on moving forward. And the Planning Commission, I was just rereading, they recommended, you know, to set short-term goals and long-term goals. But, you know, it was recommended to be approved, the master plan update here from July, I have, and the community supports it, and we would caution councilors to not try to reinvent the wheel, because we have really good maps. We spent $15,000 on Gene Akers doing the plan. We did 2 or 3 years for 2010, and really the public wants us to move on and adopt a plan, and then the farm has to learn, we need to figure out the self-sustaining, increase that, but delaying it is just fueling suspicion of when they tried to sell it in 2004 and all the cover-up. This is reminiscent of that. It's not directed at anyone here. It's just that we are very suspicious because what's happened in the past is now happening again. The meeting, the master plan public hearing was canceled, and it took months for me to find out why. I still haven't really understood why it was canceled. So, that's my comment.
Okay, thank you. All right, no further comments. Why don't we move on to agenda item 3, approval of November 21, 2019 meeting minutes.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? All right, thank you. Joe, you want to give an update on what's going on at the farm? Do we have a well yet?
I'm sorry?
Do we have a well yet?
We have a well. Yes, we have a well. Really, there's not much to update. It's rained a lot. working on a lot of machinery. I'm finding new and exciting ways to stay out of the rain. And yes, we now have a well. It's placed. It's not quite hooked up yet, but we should be operating it here in the next couple of weeks. Obviously, we'll fire it up and do a test run before we get to May of next year. But that's really all I have to report. A lot of cleanup, a lot of moving stuff around, cleaning out old buildings. That's kind of it.
All right. Sounds good. The other thing that I think, as a point of information, our clean water group has successfully competed for at least partial funding to do some restoration of the Cougar Creek that runs through farm. Now, they did not get full funding, so what we'd be able to accomplish this time, but it's consistent with both the concepts in the existing 2010 master plan and the master plan update in terms of moving forward with some sort of a wetland and stream restoration on the property. This may only take us to design, but we will see. We will see. But anyway, that was good news to, again, find a way to bring some additional money in to invest in actions at the farm that are supported by the community as identified in the master plan.
$132,000. And then did it specify where that has to happen, or is it up to?
You do a design that would be reviewed by the Department of Ecology. It's a Centennial Clean Water Grant. And then once the design is approved, move forward with construction. Don't know that money will go that far, but it's good news anyway.
Very good, Tom. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Farm Advisory Committee, proposals for the use of the farm. Sandy?
We have two items that we want to talk about, two proposals. They're not, one of them's official, one of them's coming in, but have gotten quite a bit of information. The first one is husband and wife team that are building beehives, both honey and mason beehives, and they want to use some of the property to put the hives on and manage the bees, but also they kind of want to work to see if the designs work more efficiently than other bee hives do, but also maybe placing them in places where they might be advantageous to the community gardens or to some of the other growing endeavors on the farm, and then see if productivity or it enhances the growing for the gardens. I don't know any more details in that. It's just really brief. So she's filling out a more official application, and we'll do. And then she's also going to work with Dane Arnett with the Beekeepers Association, because they have bees on hives on the farm as well, so we don't want to replicate the work that's already being done. So it could be a project that'll merge with the beekeepers, and I really have just sketchy details on what they really want to do. So at first I thought they just wanted storage space, but now they're really asking for space to put the hives and then do a little bit of research on the designs of the hives and such. So we're looking forward to that one coming in the next few weeks. Our next meeting in February, we're hoping to address both of the formal proposals. The formal proposal that we have just received comes from Master Gardeners, Master Gardener Foundation, and they want to do native plant propagation project where they'll be growing native plants. They'll be working with the department, Washington State Department of Natural Resources, to rear plants on the farm, and then they'll be placed in the Lacamas Prairie Natural Area. So they'll be started on the farm and then put into the natural area. And again, they'll be working with the Department of Natural Resources, so they'll be funding the project and providing the plants and things like that. The area of land hasn't been designated yet, and so we'll have a few questions for them in our February meeting before we approve it. But this is in the pipeline to get approved. So.
Just interesting. For those that may not know where the Lacamas Prairie natural area is, it is a portion of what was once the Anderson Dairy Farm over by Goodwin Road. I think DNR controls about 130 acres or so there now, and they're trying to recreate a wet prairie, so it's kind of an interesting proposal.
Yeah, so it's quite an interesting.
Do you know, are they targeting wet prairie species? Is that?
I don't know that.
No.
Those are questions we need to ask. What species and things like that?
I did meet with the DNR gentleman. I can't remember his name. I apologize.
Carlo? Is it Carlo?
Huh?
Carlo Abruzzese, I think is his.
Sounds familiar, yeah. Maybe. yes, they're native species. It's more or less propagating grass seed. Some of them will try to do seed. Some of them they've had, hit or miss whether they can propagate from seed. So some of them they're looking at just more or less doing crowns. We'll dig them up, we'll separate them, and we'll plant them. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We also have on the advisory board Kathleen Fraello, who is our plant expert,
native species
expert on our board, and reviews all these proposals that come in that are related to native species and grasses and things. So she has not had a chance to look at this one yet either, but she will be looped in by our February meeting.
So we have another set of ideas or proposals regarding revenue generating, and so I don't know if you want us to bring that up during the Heritage Farm piece or if you want us to bring it up now.
We can transition to the Heritage Farm Master Plan. I think we're just about there on the agenda anyway.
Yeah.
So, many of you, I believe, attended the council work session on the 8th. Very, very brief debriefing, at least from my perspective, is that staff was asked to provide a brief overview of the 2019-2010 proposals. There was a lot of discussion about budget matters, as you've obviously picked up, and the council's desire to try and make this as sustainable an operation as possible. Counselors are interested in plans, suggestions, how to move forward, and also how best to go about collecting information that would help us define sort of a good path to that goal. And we were looked as a staff to look at some options for management and income for the farm. We're in the process of trying to develop some ideas that we would present back to the council. I'm not sure if it's official yet, but there is a possibility of another work session coming up in February. So when it's firmly established in the time and date, we will let people know when that is. I think for those that are interested, there was also a council time discussion on the 15th. So you can hear firsthand kind of the conversation they had, a lot of discussion about how flexible versus how rigid is the master plan that is moving forward. And I think that gives you a good idea of sort of the ideas that the council is wrestling with on how best to move forward. So for those that want to investigate that, it starts at minute 50:45. And it goes to minute 1 hour and 9 minutes. So it was a fairly good discussion.
About 18 minutes.
Yeah. And, you know, certainly they're looking for ideas and the best ways to bring them about, and we will follow that up in a future work session, so it's a transparent discussion, and that's current status.
Yeah, I encourage anyone that has an opportunity to listen to that. It was very well put together, I thought. You went away with a pretty good positive feeling that the counselors were sitting there really wrestling with the issue in a very constructive way, looking forward. And I think the tone of it was all positive, and I think it's well worth listening because it gives you a whole different perspective on what may be happening. Whether you agree or disagree with what they're specifically saying on things is another issue, but I think they're my view is they're properly wrestling with it in as much public fashion as they can, and it's a good step, especially if you're going to continue to monitor the Heritage Farm this way, as seemed to be. You probably need to collect all that information in your repertoire of knowledge as you move forth through this first half of this year.
And then I'll just add, first of all, we appreciate everyone who was there for coming. Your support for any parks facility, the farm, any of our new or existing sites is so critical and so appreciated. I know my staff were responding to very specific questions when they met with council a couple of weeks ago. At council time, we've provided council with additional information about the 2019 master plan. Right after council time, we gave each of them a copy. They've asked us to come back. Our tentative date is, if you want to write it down, we're just working on scheduling it now, is February 19th. And it's a work session. I think work sessions here start at 10 a.m. Am I correct?
They vary in time.
They vary. Okay.
Yeah, so we don't have a time certain at this point, but that's the date we're looking at.
That's the date we're looking at. And that date will be specifically to unpack and review the 2019 master plan together. They care. Thank you, Kirk, for saying at that meeting. Very positive, very engaging. They've asked a lot of questions about the public involvement. They've giving us directives to seek additional input and ask questions. We're just really honored to be going to council so many times. It really shows to us that they're invested and want to help us take the next steps forward. So on both ends, in terms of community involvement, we're just really honored and appreciative of all of the work and energy that has gone into this facility. So thank you for that. Once we have a date certain, I believe it gets published, and then we could probably send something out once we know to the group.
I mean, I have sort of an email distribution list that I send people. If you want to be sure you're on it, you could sign up on the sign-up sheet with your email, and I could get you out sort of a time certain.
And if you have ideas, we're open to them anytime. Sharon found my email, and I think we exchange emails almost daily.
You got a break.
But please, you know, let us know, and for staff and I'll speak on all of our behalf. It's a good opportunity for us to engage and talk and have conversations. It just makes our work so much better. So anytime you have ideas, let us know.
Another positive thing I wanted to share was that we being the advisory board and the Heritage Farm Foundation, have started to collaborate with the Parks Advisory Board. They met about 2 weeks ago. Very positive meeting there, and Kelsey Potter, the chair of that, wants to keep the interface going between various groups and her advisory board group. So we're going to be meeting, we being the advisory board of the Heritage Farm Board, we're going to be meeting with that board during the next meeting. I think it's February 11th, something like that. Can't remember exactly for sure. And so we're going to update them on some of our thinking, which is parallel what we're going to discuss here tonight a little bit too, and work strong. They're a very strong, supportive board of the Heritage Farm and the working groups that are supporting the Heritage Farm. So we're looking forward to a very positive going forward relationship there with them.
And if any of you are interested, that meeting is on February 11th, and it's 4 p.m. and it's in this room.
For the Parks Advisory
Board. For the Parks Advisory Board, yes.
Okay. That mostly takes us through the agenda. Did somebody want to talk about the master plan?
No. Yeah.
Ideas.
Ideas. Oh, yes. Okay. I'm sorry.
So I have a list of ideas that the Heritage Advisory Board and Farm Foundation had started brainstorming, some things that we wanted to suggest, as well as show an interest in helping with some of these ideas if possible. And so I don't know if you want me to run through some of them. I do have a couple copies that I'll leave with they start with an increased rate change for parcels over the next year, looking at increasing lease rates, because we've heard that some of the lease rates are fairly reasonable. Increasing the percent of profit fees on projects that raise funds. Fees for service on farm projects beyond the basic services provided. Right now, there's a set of basic services that are provided to those that have projects, but as Joe will tell you, he does a whole variety of other kinds of things, and it varies from project to project, and thinking that maybe there should be some fees for services, and Kirk has done some research on that.
And what the philosophy there, and many of you are familiar with it, you know, we take Joe's his compensation, his fully loaded allocated rate for his activity, and you divide it by 2,021 hours in a year, and you get an hourly rate, and theoretically that should be approximate what we should charge users of the farm for his work by the hour. You couple that with the ER&R equipment and maintenance logs and system that the county has, gives a rate for each piece of equipment that he uses, the harrow, the tractor, everything. It's all predetermined at an hourly basis. Depreciation, all that's cranked into it. So with those two numbers, you come up with, say, the food bank wants to come up and say, Joe, I need 3 hours of work and I want you to cultivate this acre out here. Well, Joe can say, okay, that's going to be X amount of dollars based on our rate base, and you can say, yeah, I want to do it, or no, I don't. You know, or you know, there's at least you know what it is, and that, and by spreading out those incremental costs, and if you go over this $272,000, a chunk of that in fully allocated basis is Joe. There's a huge chunk there that ends up entering that number. So our goal is to creep into this process slowly and try to, over the next few years, incrementally add in these kind of rates so we can start recovering some of these overhead costs that we currently are having.
And I guess as we go through the list, some of them are small or can be small, but pennies make dollars these days, and sometimes it just means a little bit of revenue here and there will add up to helping out at the farm. Let's see, where was I on my list here? I think it's been talked about increasing the number of community gardens, and there is space for community gardens. There's not a large waiting list, as people seem to think that there was. There's really not. But given the fact that there is space to have some more and some more marketing, we could have some more community gardens. And also consider raising the price of the community gardens, because it is a year-round garden space as opposed to a seasonal one like most of the community gardens in the area. And there's many people that farm their garden or raise produce on their gardens year-round. Maybe consider charging for meeting rooms for projects that are not farm projects, because there's lots of people that use the meeting rooms there. We talked a little bit about adding event fees, and we, as an advisory team, have come up with an event request form, because many people have events on the farm, and we, just for calendaring and communication's sake, we need to know what kinds of events are going on. But some of those events have a fee attached to them, and there's many places who, when you Clark College is a good example, when you're going to do a community ed class and you say it's going to, I need to have $25 per person, then they'll add their event fee on top of it to cover the cost of using the facility. And so that could be an event or facility fee that, you know, at 50 cents or 25 cents to the participants is added on, but it's an event fee that the farm collects at that point. Special events with corporate sponsorships and fees to attend, so like the Harvest Festival, Brewfest, farm dinners, tasting events, and so on. I'm meeting with a group next week about some guided tours with special themes, so having a historical tour, having a growing and producing tour, or a natural resources tour to think about honeybees and bats and frogs and birds that are on the farm. So having them themed and specialized so people can come and get educated in that area, and it's kind of like an event, but more be a guided tour that might have a fee attached to it. Explore some mentoring projects, whether it's around farming or gardening or composting. We're going to look at updating the website and including online donation features. The Farm Foundation is developing a membership participation levels, as well as corporate sponsorships, maybe corporate sponsorships for mentoring or for special events. Exploring public-private partnerships, and this kind of came from a conversation that I had with Galena about some public-private partnerships to support larger capital improvements and how those happen. We don't know anything about it, but we're interested in learning more. Expanding our social media awareness, and then collaborations with other local activities going on. Like ones that happen at ALNA. They're having a brew fest up there. And so are there some things that we can, you know, tap into other kinds of events in the community, but the Heritage Farm can be part of that partnership as well. So those were just some ideas that we've brainstormed, and we're also very interested in being part of a process to help with some of those things. So, yeah.
Great, thank you.
Could you send out that list?
Sure.
Yeah, I think one of the things that why I'm saying lack of transparency and not to reinvent the wheel is there's so many things that weren't shown. I mean, I know Galena's new. I'm not criticizing anybody, but all the things that have already been accomplished at the farm, in that graph, on if you look at the PDF of the work session on page 7 versus the proposed page 15 maximum farm use, they wanted to move the community garden. You know, this was maybe they're going to move the community gardens. Well, they've been there since 2009, so it's wiping out people's work. The greenhouses were not included in that. The trail we've been waiting for since 2009, that wasn't on there. And so, but then WSU, which is not an owner of the property, we, the public, are an owner of the property. It's really important to remember that. And we also are, the public are the taxpayers and the funders of WSU Extension and the farm expenses. So there's lots of flex space already left. We don't need to wreck the blueberry field that's been there forever. We don't need to wreck the organic field that's been there forever. All of 68th Street hasn't been used since I've been there, since 1990. So there's already open land. And so that's why else I say, you know, accept the master plan, implement the wonderful ideas Sandy was saying. You know, I think a lot of them are nonprofit, so hopefully profit have a different charge than nonprofit, because that'll take away from the food bank able to grow. And, you know, so there are, but I think it's good to move to, you know, like the classes, they can't make a profit on the classes, but they can charge more than $5 for blueberry pruning, because there's a lot more money that goes into teaching those classes when you look at taking care of them and teaching the class time and all that stuff. So, but I really don't want things destroyed. And I want the master plan and the guiding principles left with us, so it's fine to say move to self-sustainability or increase self-sustainability. But I want a guarantee that it's going to be there 100 years from now. I don't want it gone or leased off in order to meet the general fund for this year. And then 5 years from now, another county council is going to want another. And it's just not good. It's not a good business plan if you can't plan.
Other comments?
I think what the public is looking for is that the master plan be approved without all of this outside things that the council is demanding, well, not demanding, requesting, so that we can go out and get grants with a better chance of getting the money. Without the master plan being approved, nothing's happening. We're treading waters. We've been treading water since July. We just want it done, that's all. Just get it approved, move on with the good ideas, get some money. Then I think the public will really settle down. Right now, everybody's going, Where have we heard this before? So that's the issue. I think that's the bottom line issue for the public. Just get it done. Let us move on. I'm done.
She lives next to the Heritage Farm, and her dad helped us prevent housing being developed in 2004. So come by it.
I come by it naturally.
Yeah. Any other comments?
Pat, I have some comments, but I'm not sure if they're public comments or if they're board comments. One of the issues I want to be sure we don't miss in this process of trying to make something that will probably never be self-sustaining is that what we're looking at there is a public asset which can generate far more than the dollar value you're talking about of a few hundred thousand dollars in the good that it does to a community. There isn't anybody in New York City trying to figure out how to make Central Park self-sustaining.
Yes.
This is a piece of land, it's a piece of property, it's a viewscape that everybody in the county owns and should benefit from, if nothing more than the fact that every day they eat food, and the primary purpose of Heritage Farm in the future is to concentrate on the fact that the food is where we are and the importance of that. The educational efforts we're trying to do are aimed towards the production of food, not necessarily on that farm, in your backyard, on small spaces, on small acreages. Talking about new ways and different ways, more concentrated stuff, smaller scale things. But that's the future I see, is it's an educational piece for the production of food, which is something every one of us engages in every day. And if we lose this, we'll lose something we will never, ever be able to retain. I'll bet you if we offered a piece of property like this to half of the cities in the United States and said, you can have this if you'll want to make it a public demonstration, education, research place for the benefit of food and your community, I bet they'd snap it up like that and they wouldn't bat an eye at spending a few hundred thousand dollars on the operation of that place. That's just why I want to make sure we don't lose sight of that in this process. I'm not opposed to trying to figure out ways that you can gain a little more income here and there. That, to me, that makes sense. If we have fundraising events, fine. But I would think we'd be far better off finding ideas and people in the community who want to contribute to the future of what we're trying to do, to the food production ideas, than we are to say, okay, how can we get five more dollars out of each class that's done there? I bet you there are all kinds of community sponsors who would come forward. And that's one of the things that the Heritage Farm Foundation has in their viewscape, is that they want to connect with the community and have people say, you know, Heritage Farm is where we do food in this county. That's where we do the education around that topic. So I just think we need to keep our eyes open about those possibilities and not saying, okay, how can we get five more dollars? That was one of the things I want to talk about. And the next item is for future agenda. And that is, I think, At least I would.
Next agenda item.
Next agenda item, yeah.
Okay, we're moving on to the...
Next agenda item. Future items for agenda. So at some point, I think we need to have a review of the realignment of the park boundary. Many of you don't know that forever, there was about a 300-foot section of the farm directly north of Hazeldale Park that was included in the farm because that's where the fence always was. And so when they did the change, that's where they built the fence. But on the deeds, it should have been 300 feet farther north. So when we started talking about this and the property went back to the county, somewhere in there, someone in the county said, well, let's just swap that. Let's just swap that 300 feet there rather than extend it back like it should be. Let's just swap that for 300 feet down along the road. The next thing I knew, all the maps showed 300 feet down on the road to the park. I think that's a great move for the park. I think it's a bad move for the farm.
Very bad.
It leaves us landlocked on 68th Street. Mm-hmm. It moves that 300 feet back to where you can't run a piece of equipment down that hill and turn it around at the bottom of the hill because you don't get any flat space. So I think we need to talk about why didn't we just put it on the west side of the park up to where the park boundary is and leave what's left to the west and down onto the road, still in the farm. I just want to see if there's a way of readdressing that because I don't know how it got decided where it is now. So did I do that too much?
No, that's fine.
As long as we get the trail started too, I will not...
Well, I'm just fine for a trail. I'm fine with the trail when there's something to see.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
And if there's nothing to see that's around food and growth and benefit there, I don't think I want a trail that's just for people walking because they need a place to walk. Okay. If there's something to show, I'm all for that.
There is a lot to show already. I mean, that was part of, that goes back to the master plan and the guiding principles, health and wellness. And food production is important, but people don't even know those community gardens are there because you have no access. And the other guiding principle was community access. And I know there was concern about research, but you're not going to get support for the farm if we don't get the trail built. That's what Gene Akers says, that if you don't have more openness with that to that farm, it's isolating the farm, it's not fair to the community that supports the farm. And you're not going to get grants, because if you limit access, talking to the new parks director, Galena, if you limit access, it's a lot harder to get grants.
It depends on the grants you're getting.
Very, very limited, and
what they're for.
That's right. It depends on your grants and what you're getting.
And I'm
fine with having a trail that comes in and goes around the public gardens and have people walk around the gardens and look at them. I'm all for that.
And connects to Hazeldale Park.
And I don't think these issues are mutually exclusive
no.
either.
No, I don't think so either.
I think they dual pronged approach.
I agree.
You know, I sometimes I hear too much saying, oh, we can't go any further until we get A done. Well, that's not necessarily true. We could do A and B at the same time in steps. And,
yep.
and
yeah.
you know, we need to have a broad spec perspective of the thing.
Thank you. That's what we need. I mean, because that's what was envisioned in 2010. And we're still waiting. I got barbed wire off of 68th Street. I'm tired of looking at that barbed wire.
I think that, just to piggyback on what you stated, that we really need to get a lot of thoughtful consideration as population density increases. Children have lost the concept of where food comes from. And this farm is the perfect place to ensure that that education is provided going forward. So the educational aspects there can't have a dollar amount put on them.
Sure. My other future agenda item. I want us to engage in a conversation about public-private partnerships with connection with the farm. Right now, when we talk to people about donating money to the Heritage Farm Foundation, the question in their mind is, okay, is that money for the foundation, or is it for the farm, or is it for the county? Mm-hmm. And without some sort of agreement where we can engage in activities that are farm connected, that won't be too strongly bound by what the county wants to have happen. So at some point, this public piece of property needs to find a way that we can public and private together, so we have an asset we can all be proud of. So I'd like to engage in that.
Yeah, that one's been presented a number of times, and it's a difficult one.
It is.
It's going to take some dialogue to get through that one because it's complex.
Mm-hmm. And we would like to work with the nonprofit and with the advisory board and that concept. My background and experience is with nonprofits working together with the city in another jurisdiction, where nonprofits were very critical and instrumental in that financial success. Setting up trusts for different projects was really, really key. I'm very sorry, I have a 13-year-old daughter who keeps calling. I also have
She's 13, that's
she's
okay.
She's 13, at least she's checking in. But my experience has been this partnership can work quite well, but the lines have to be very clear, and it doesn't mean it's not a collaboration. It can continue to be a great collaboration. In fact, I've worked with nonprofits who have been able to receive funds and grants for capital work that when they did the hiring of the contractors and consultants, they spent a lot less because they were a nonprofit organization as compared to a government entity. So we're really excited to have that conversation when you're ready.
They didn't have to pay prevailing wage.
Huh? All I could say was less.
Less. Okay. Okay.
More streamlined procurement process.
There you go.
There you go.
Hello.
I like that. Yeah. Maybe a centralized approach, maybe.
Okay. Any other ideas, future discussions? Mikey's, those are very good points, Blair. Thank you for bringing those up.
One of the things I wanted to add to something that Sharon has said is that the people in this room know about the farm, the 130 people that went to the work session last night. We all know about the farm, but most of the county doesn't know about the farm. I have no idea what the Vancouver School District does, but they need to get people there. When we started fighting the development in 2004, and when Team 99 and Three Creeks Community Partners added, and the Hazelville Family Creek Business Association added the farm to their list of things they wanted to be involved in, one of the important things for me was I want kids to drive by that place and say, hey, look, what's going on in there? I want to know what's going on in there. And that isn't happening. The last time I looked at what it was going to cost to put that ridiculously expensive trail in there, it just made me sick because I said, nobody's going to do this. We need a trail. We need access from both sides, 78 and 68. And we need to do what we can to encourage people to come and look at the farm, to see what it was and what it was. I used to pick berries there, and knowing that it was a poor farm was this devastating thing that apparently, I told my father the first night I just saw these places where these people live, and I said, I'm gonna work till I'm 80 because I'm never gonna live in a poor farm. Well, I think before we get through these November meetings, that it might not be the worst idea to have public outreach campaign, which would have the farm open on certain days so that people could come walk around and see what's going on without destroying anybody's stuff, and get more of the public involved. We're kind of insular out here, and I just think that we need to reach up, because when it's gone. And if we have another election, we have more people, less realtors, it's gonna go. Somebody is going to say, oh my God, we're losing money over here on XYZ project, but you know what? We got 40 acres sitting on that farm that we could just make a mint out of. We just cannot let that happen. We cannot let them get them. Dr. Seuss.
It works, though, right?
Other suggestions?
Hanging on to Blair's thing, you know, when you meet with the parks advisory board on the 11th, talk about Hazelville Park and how to do that, because I don't want that to drag on another 10 years. I want connection and facilitation and interrelationships, and I think there's a lot of collaborative relationships, but you know, the schools were supposed to be a lot more involved, and now I think the Farm to Fork program, Joey said, is, or Evergreen, isn't going to be doing now, and so anyway, and I agree, it is. Maybe we need to designate it park. I mean, if we're going to keep having to face this every 10 years, you know, and parks get money. And talk to them about a way to get the trail funded through through parks. I mean, that legally maybe can happen. I was told no, but I don't see why not. There's lots of money for trails now.
We have a comment.
Lots of uglier places for parks.
Are you the, were you the farm manager? I can't remember his name.
Blair,
is it?
Blair.
Up here. Was.
Yeah. Again?
You were the park
manager? I was getting the note from my 13-year-old. I'm sorry.
Is it the same one as mine?
Yes,
he was.
Yeah, yeah. My history with that farm is I've been aware of and involved with it since 1985 when I came to Clark County. And then in 99, my office was moved to that site because I was a district director for WSU Extension. Then 2 years later, I became the farm manager for WSU. And I did that until the farm went back to the county. And then I retired, and then I went to work for the county for 5 years, half-time, as a farm manager. I was twice as efficient as Joe, because I could do it in just half-time. It's way different. I know it is, Joe. Don't kidding. I know it's way different. I'm just kidding you.
What I'm saying with this is that the park was a specific size initially. At one point, I don't know what the acreage, I was thinking like 40 acres or something like that. I don't know what it was. With that 20, other 300 feet here, you talked about.
What's he talking about?
At the north end of the park.
Right.
And then now it's down over 68th Street. As I recall, and I live across the street from Hazeldall Park.
Okay.
My mom and dad lived there. They built a house there in 78. My grandma and grandpa moved in there in the early 60s. So I've been in the area my whole life, and I just used to live down the street at Three Corners. But so I've seen lots of changes. But as I recall, and I've lived where I'm at now for over 30 years, so, or in that area, either at another house on my grandma's old property or at my folks' old house. As I recall, the farm did not want to give up the property to the north of the park. That's how it ended up down at 68th Street. Now, I don't know that for a fact. I just remember talking or reading about it or something.
Yeah, but the alignment didn't happen until after the farm went back to the county a few years ago. That's when the alignment happened.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah. WSU would not have been, I mean, it was all county then, so it would be the county who makes the decision of whether they wanted to give it up. But there was no one who spoke for the farm maintaining connection with 68th Street on that side.
Right, and it's the county park. So, I mean,
it's all county, so yeah.
So that's, to be perfectly honest, I think that's a moot point. They could figure something out, the county could.
With influence, they might figure something out.
as long as the master plan is updated, let's be clear here.
The other thing I would suggest is that, why don't we charge a fee to go into Hazeldall Park to help? I mean, it's part of the farm originally, and was taken out and placed as a park for the county, as I recall. Is that correct, Linda? Didn't your dad help build the park?
Yes.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. So it was given as a large parcel of property, and then a piece was taken out for a park for the local area. So why can't we charge a minute fee for that? I know they don't charge fees too much anymore, but the parks need money.
Well,
everybody says they get funded, but the parks are one of the last things to get funded. Been in government too long to know the parks just, they may be the first out of their hand, but they're the last to get anything in it.
Well, I appreciate what you said.
So why can't there be some type of fee, and part of that fee go to the park, and part of the fee go to the farm? And I have a different idea about that ground along the front there, because seeing how I lived there and I watched the water run down the street out of Castlewood Estates and flood the park's entrance out, I have a different purpose for that. I think they should put in a sediment water retention pond.
A water jail?
No.
Yeah, water jail.
Rain garden.
Yeah. Fire. Yeah. As long as it stops going down the street, run across my property. That one year we had 15 inches of rain, I had 4 inches of water going across my driveway. I live on the north side of the street. The south side of the street then. So where the church is now, it runs down through there. But. And also envision a park where there's a parking lot over there, because that way the park could have more spaces for people to use and not
continually have a dust bomb going into my house.
Well, I'll add a couple of things. One, I appreciate what you said. You were speaking in reference to a farm, but your comment could be broader based. Parks are for everyone, right? One of the ways parks are created and funded is through a comprehensive planning effort that this county refers to as PROS Plan, Parks, Recreation, and Open Space Plan. And our Parks Advisory Board this year will be working on revisions of the current PROS Plan and looking at all of the ideas related to parks in the county. Things like levels of service, what is a park, what's the definition of park, how does community engage with various parks processes. So the timing for this discussion is actually really good because it also relates to the work that the Parks Advisory Board will be doing to look at all of those things, including funding.
Well, there's a new park down on 78th Street. Somebody donated the property to the county. It's like, I think, 5 acres down there. And I'm going, what's the purpose of that? That's a perfect place to put houses if you really want to, because there's a development in there. Well, already there's houses all around it.
Well, the county will do that.
Huh?
The county will do that. My neighborhood had 3 lots designated for park. Mm-hmm. You know what's there now? Houses.
Yeah.
I don't have an opinion on it, though.
The point is, just making fact. Comes to the Parks Advisory Board and help.
Well, since they put the 802 units at the end of the street, 68th Street, that's pretty much like a raceway out there.
It is.
Wait till
Hilton's done. Speed bumps. Put speed bumps on that street. Speed bumps.
Big
speed bumps.
That next subdivision back this way. Yeah. We're
in the city.
We're done.
Thanks, O. Any?
Sharon?
No, it could be part of the regional park system, Delina. I mean, if we bought the trail, that is. I mean, if the $5, it adds up. I mean, I know what everybody's saying about money, but it does add up. The county council really wants some funds coming in. So, anyway, people would pay to park there if the trail.
We have more.
Yes, sir. Hi. I'm William Smith. I've only been a gardener over there for 2 years. I'd just like to know why they don't advertise that there's spaces there for rent for the gardeners. The only reason I know about the garden is I was driving by the farm and there was a sign on the fence. It said, spaces for rent. Is there newspaper ads?
Newspaper ads anything? Cost money.
No, nobody reads the paper anymore.
Well, that too.
Hey, Brad. I realize the season.
Yeah, watch me talk to
them. The season they have is wrong for the contract, the February through January. Because most people that don't have a garden already but want one don't think of that. They don't think about coming in February to get a garden.
April would be a good time to
start. But it's the way they have it now. I'd like to see an improvement over the fact the way they get people to come to be gardeners. That's why I made a proposal to Debbie about how they could put more spaces in. There's plenty of room on the west side of where the gardens are now for either 12 or 18 more spaces without disturbing, other than digging up the dirt. There's that many room for that many more spaces if we had people that wanted spaces. So, thank you.
Thank you for that point. One of the points in the master plan that keeps coming up is a more robust marketing campaign, more information. I think all of you have talked about it to some degree, more education. It is literally written into the 2019 master plan. So, kind of goes back to that point that you've made and Sharon and others have made earlier, that we need to communicate more about it. I've lived in this county now for almost 30 years, and if it wasn't that I used to work in a government entity here, I wouldn't have known. And I think there are people who would absolutely enjoy learning more and doing more and having access to.
And William is like a volunteer extraordinaire. He donated
like 100 pounds of tomatoes from his two plots or something. He mows around the garden. He makes signs. He wants to build a children's garden and on and on and on. And he's a dear friend and I love him.
Did you help them out?
He does.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Any final thoughts? Oh, yes.
They're coming to the children involved. And yours also, I think, are very significant. The farm, I live next to the farm, I love it. And you've got all kinds of critters and plants, and you wanted to introduce more native plants. There's not a really good outlet for those anywhere around here unless you drive way the heck north. That would be another good thing for the master gardeners to do.
They're going to. That's really their hidden agenda of their proposal.
how they interact with all the bees and the little animals and the frogs. We have deer out here, we have coyote out here, we have hawks. The hawks have fledged 3 years in a row. It's a wonderful place to live. We could use some more trees. It's not very pretty. And if you're going to attract people, you've got to make it more attractive. Put some more plants in. You have more place to wander through rather than look across. Unless you're going to plant it.
It is a wildlife refuge. I mean, she's absolutely right. I mean, we had eagles, too.
Mm-hmm. I had an eagle in my tree a few months ago. Right off the deck.
If you wrote on the cards any ideas and suggestions and would like to turn them in, we'll collect them. Also, email us anytime. We appreciate you very much.
Okay.
Matt, you still have that email list from the surveys?
Yeah.
This is getting more to a point. And so if you emailed out,
Truth my
you know, and plus, actually, the comments will come